This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Len Rohde played for the San Francisco 49ers from 1960 through 1974 when he retired with the record of most consecutive games played. I had the absolute honor to know Rohde, and I met him at his home in Los Altos, California, 10 years ago, where he sat down for an interview about his career. Rohde came to mind the other day, and I recalled his interview, and we decided to re-air his show as a best of the best, celebrating Journeys of Discovery's 32nd anniversary. Rohde, who died in 2017, grew up in Palatine, Illinois, receiving a scholarship from Utah State University. He played football there as an offensive tackle in the late 1950s, where he was awarded an MVP and all-conference honors. Upon graduation in 1960, Rohde was drafted by the San Francisco 49ers, signing a contract for $8,500, along with a $1,500 signing bonus. Rohde, like most of his teammates back in the day, held off-season jobs. Rohde played for the 49ers for the next 15 years, hanging up his cleats at the conclusion of the 1974 season. Rohde was selected for the 1970 Pro Bowl game and was named the San Francisco 49ers all-time golden era team in 1996. And when he retired, he held the 49ers record for most consecutive games played. Leonard Rohde.
Leonard Rohde, number 76.
Jersey number 76. Hi, Len.
Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How did your career begin in football?
I started in high school in Illinois, Palatine, Illinois. Don't even want to tell you what year that was. Then I got a scholarship to Utah State University in Logan, Utah. Played there for 4 years and got drafted by the 49ers in 1960.
How did the progression go with the 49ers?
You know, you had to make the team or they let you go. They have a draft, and I was drafted fifth, made the team, and I wasn't a starter, you know, first couple of years, but I was played in every game. In fact, fortunately, I still have the record with the 49ers of most consecutive games, 208.
Wow. And your position?
Most of my career, I played offensive tackle, although I did start out and played some defensive end the first couple of years also.
They make the defensive tackles a little bigger today, don't they?
Yeah, well, they pay them more money so you can buy more food.
Yeah.
So I figured that if I get a couple $1 million a year, I might be able to put on a few pounds too.
Speaking of that, that's one of the fascinating stories of playing pro ball in the 60s that most people don't know unless they were there. For example, I remember one time you telling me about a big signing bonus you got.
Actually, the whole economic situation was completely different because I think it was right about that time that television became a factor that increased the revenue significantly for the owners, and so there was a lot more money to pass around. But
even in the mid-60s, what would be an average salary for a pro ball player?
Well, I'd be guessing, but I would say probably in the mid-60s, probably somewhere 30, 40 grand, something like that.
Sounded like big money, didn't it?
Oh, it was big money. I can remember I signed a contract in 1960 for $10,000. Actually, the contract was for $8,500 and a $1,500 signing bonus. And what convinced me is that was a little more than I could make teaching school, so it wasn't really too difficult.
A no-brainer. Tell us about on another level of pro ball then and now. When you add the factor of the big bucks, the super celebrity status, things change, don't they? It was more of a familial and more of a community spirit, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. Everybody was trying to survive. But it, you know, the game was similar. I think that the big difference is I'm really kind of happy in a way. There's certainly a big benefit now with all the money if they have a pretty lengthy career. And it all frugal with their money, they can put themselves in a pretty good position financially. But of course, the downside is When I was playing back then, most of us had other off-season jobs. I taught school, and, you know, people did different things. And as a result of that, it was a fairly easier transition into the rest of your life, because a football career would probably last for maybe 6 or 7 years if you're lucky, and then you'd have to go out and get a real job. Mm-hmm. You know, the way it is now, and people making the kind of huge dollars they're making, and you can't blame them, they're not getting off-season jobs. They're working out and trying to, and as a result, when their career is over, if they played for 5 years or 10 years, I mean, they're kind of look out there in the world saying, well, what do I do now? And they're 30 years old or 35, don't have really any experience in another occupation. Except, obviously, there's some of the stars who are broadcasting, and, you know, they can transition into that, but that's a small minority of the players.
Going back in time again, there is that other, that downside that you alluded to, that some of the people that you played with wound up not doing too well financially in their latter years, correct?
Well, that's true. It is an unfortunate thing that, you know, when you're getting out of college and you're 22 years old or whatever, and you get a pile of money, chances are you're going to go out and start looking for the nicest car you can get and things like that, and as opposed to trying to figure out, well, how are you going to put some of this away? So when it's cut off, suddenly your standard of living is, which was quite high because you had the money, is now way down, and you maybe are living in a home that you probably shouldn't be living in, and you're probably got a car you probably shouldn't be driving, and you got this big debt. We're all familiar with that kind of situation these days, I guess.
Talk to us a little bit about your son. Dan told me once about the 49ers. They have, it's like a benevolent association.
Actually, what I think you're referring to is the NFL Alumni Association. It's an organization that pretty much all the teams have. It's not related necessarily directly to the team. It's guys who played for the NFL or professional football, it could be any of the professional levels. And the cities, like we have a Northern California chapter, which includes the Raiders and the 49ers. And as a matter of fact, anybody who played for a professional team who lives in this area could have played for the Bears. Our president is a guy that played for the Chicago Bears. And it's an organization. We basically raise money for charity for kids. In fact, the charity is called Caring for Kids. So we have a golf tournament every year and various other things. And every one of the chapters around the country has a golf tournament, and the money goes to various kids' charities in the local areas.
Playing ball today and watching the pros play 49ers, what changes have you noticed in the sport?
Well, obviously, guys are obviously bigger and faster, and I don't know if that's all genetic necessarily, but, you know, if you have the time and there's more money at stake, you know, you're going to spend more time in the gym, you know, have an extra set of weights and work out a little harder and train a little harder and get a personal trainer and all these different things, which, you know, when I first started in 60, there were a lot of people that were just starting with weights. A lot of people thought, well, weight training wasn't really that good. It made you muscle bound. It's hard to believe now, but so that kind of thing existed. And it's changed in the sense that I think, no question, that players are bigger and faster, you know, game's faster.
How about the playbook? Is it basically the same?
Oh, man, I don't know. I haven't seen a playbook, but I know it, a lot of it's still pretty basic. I mean, you try to run the ball in different positions on the field, and you got to block the guy in front of you. You control him or he controls you, and the guy makes a tackle or he doesn't. And the same with playing pass and catch. You know, so fundamentally, it really hadn't changed much. But it is a little faster, I think, because guys are faster and stronger and so forth, and more precise because the quarterbacks can work on things more. And as we go through different professions and so forth, you know, things get perfected and get a little more, you know, a little more technical and so forth.
Are you still an avid 49ers fan? Do you go to the games and follow the games?
Got my tickets.
There you go.
I got my tickets. I'm a 49er fan. I was there played for 15 years, so I was fortunate, I guess, that I was with the 49ers my entire career. So they've been a good organization. Got a few Super Bowls up there that I was, unfortunately, I was long gone when they did that. But the Yorks have done a nice job. They have included the alumni in many of the activities. We have every year they have an alumni day where they invite everyone back, and it's always good to see the old friends.
Now, I understand you have a getaway down in Templeton, so you come down to the Central Coast periodically?
Yeah, I have a good friend of mine that was attorney for the 49ers and my attorney, and Ed Alvarez, and he lives down there. And we went down to visit him one year, and my wife and son, and we were down there. I said, hey, this is a pretty nice place. So my son, who's a professional photographer, moved down there about a year ago. So we have a little place down there, in fact, right across the street from the Alvarez's, and we have some olives and trying to make a living on that. And my son's a professional photographer.
And that's Dan Rohde.
Dan Rohde, right. DVAphoto.com.
We like the plug.
Yeah. Can we do that?
Yes.
But, yeah, he does a great job and a graduate of Brooks Institute. And so we're trying to put that together and also get the olives going. We got a few acres. We got about 20 acres, and we're looking to expand that.
All right. Len Rohde, I kind of wish you could go on. This is great. Thank you so much for sharing your time as a 49er.
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity. It was great meeting you down there. It's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful part of the state. Enjoy the time down there and hope to spend more time down there.
Very, very good. We've been speaking with Len Rohde, number 76 with the San Francisco 49ers back in the 60s and 70s.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR.